Good morning. Today's Daf and Beis is Chaf. We are on the very bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're starting with the words V'yosebo. It's at the two dots. It's four lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is going to continue a little bit more analysis regarding the Brisa we learned yesterday, the Brisa on the Amud Beis yesterday. We spent a lot of time yesterday going through Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And today's kind of like a part two. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue in terms of whether or not the Olas Riyos brought on Yantif. Now, it is... Just if you think of it outside for just a moment, it's a rather interesting and difficult machlokas to understand. Meaning Yantav comes and Yantav is coming. Meaning, right, the Daf and today are wonderful confluence of days, and that Yantav is coming. So now with the coming of Yantav, unfortunately we don't have a base of Mikdash. And so for us right now, the entire learning that we're going to be doing is Lishmatz. It's not Lamaisa. Hopefully Bimhera be Amen, it will be Lamaisa. But meanwhile, so Yantif is coming, and we know that there are karbanos that are required to be brought in Yantif. Meaning the Torah says that every Yantif, so you're going to go to Yerushalayim, and you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to offer karbanos. And as we went over yesterday, so the karbanos that you're going to be offering are really three. It's two obligatory, and one that's kind of, one that kind of happens. The obligatory ones are the Olas Re'iyah and the Shamei Chagiga. So, karban Ola, karban Shlamim, and those are chova. Those are an obligation, which means now that when Yantav comes, you got to bring these karbanos, presumably on Yantav. Now Shami Simcha is a little more open ended. As we talked about yesterday, Shami Simcha doesn't have to have a karban specifically designated for the purpose of Shami Simcha. You can have another karban already being brought and eat the meat of that karban on Yantav and fulfill your mitzvah Shami Simcha. So Shami Simcha we could leave out of the discussion. But meanwhile, when it comes to the Olas Riyah and the Shami Chagiga, so they're a chova, they're an obligation to be brought in Yantav. And so, Beis Hillel's position, which obviously is the accepted position, so Beis Hillel's position is, okay, so here's what you're going to do. Yantav comes, you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash with your Karbanos, and you're going to bring a Shami Chagiga and an Olas Riyah. It's really that simple. For Beis Shammai, as we discussed yesterday, so he has a really interesting position, which is, yeah, the Shami Chagiga you'll bring on Yantav. Right, the way Rashi described it yesterday, you have two things going for you. Number one, zman. It's the right time to bring it. Number two, ochel nefesh. Shamech Hagiga is a shlamim, therefore it's going to be eaten. So because it's a zman, it's the right zman, and because we're going to eat it, so therefore you offer an yantif. But olas re'iyah, according to Beis Shammai, that you don't bring. You don't bring that yantif. You don't bring that yantif. Why? Because there's no ochel nefesh. There's no heter of ochel nefesh. No one's eating it. In other words, what are you going to do with the Olas Riyah? You're going to shechta, you're going to put it on the Mizbech in total. And so therefore, you don't bring it on Yantav. And just to think about it, what, you don't bring your Olas Riyah on Yantav? Well, if you don't bring it on Yantav, when are you supposed to bring it? So the answer is, and we're going to hit this point a number of times this morning. So the answer is that you're going to bring it during the days of Tashlumim. Meaning that if you don't bring your Karbanos on the first day of Yantav, so you have makeup days. The remaining days of Yantav. Now, when it comes to Pesach, it's the six remaining days of Pesach. When it comes to Sukkos, it's the seven remaining days of Sukkos, because interestingly enough, Shmini Atzeres counts as one of the makeup days. Now, when it comes to Shavuos, even though there is no Chol HaMoed after Shavuos, it's one day of Yantav in Eretz Yisrael, so, but still, there's still going to be 6 days of makeup after Shavuos as well. And so, every single Yantav, according to Beis Shammai, when do you offer your Olas Riyah? During your makeup days. It's such an interesting phenomenon. That for Beis Shammai, every Olas Riyah by definition is not brought on Yantav, but on one of the days of Tashlumim. Okay, anyway, but that's the Machlokas. So yesterday we went over this Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. A big part of yesterday's daf, which we wrapped up yesterday, is whether or not Nedarim Nedavos can be offered on Yantav. Meaning, the entire discussion / debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding the Olas Riyah and the Shamei Chagiga. What about Stam? Nedarim Nedavos. You made voluntary offerings that you pledged voluntary offerings to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. You now want to satisfy your pledge. You're in Yerushalayim anyway. It's Aliyah L'Rego. You're in Yerushalayim anyway. So could I bring my Nedarim Nedavos? Now the answer, of course, is yes. Can I bring it on Yantav? No. So the answer is no. The question became, are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agreeing to that point? So if you remember yesterday's daf, so Ula was of the opinion, they agreed to that point. That Nedar Nedava cannot be offered on Yantav. That's the point of agreement. And as we pointed out yesterday, it's a machlokas hatanai. Whether or not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that Nedar Nedava can be offered on Yantav, So it ends up becoming a machlokas, a machlokas at Tanaim, where exactly the Tanaim stand on this issue, and it's a debate. Good. That's basically what we said over yesterday, right? Just in the short 5 minutes. So we went over basically yesterday's daf as a summary. With that stated, so one of the points that we made yesterday was the Shami Simcha. Now, by the Shami Simcha, so as I mentioned just moments earlier, so there's a fluidity with the Shami Simcha. The Shami Simcha, you don't have to designate a carbon specific for Shami Simcha. Shami Simcha just simply means you must be eating the meat of kachim of a carbon on Yantiv in order to be mesameach, in order to really enjoy Yantiv. In other words, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, Simcha is expressed through the eating of Basar Shlamim. So, fine. So that's the mitzvah Shami Simcha. So, let's say, for example, this was the Gemara's point yesterday, that you happen to already be bringing a carbon toda, and now you're eating the carbon toda as part and parcel of your Shami Simcha. That's fine. That will work as the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simcha. Okay, v'yotze b'mishum Simcha. So now we'll just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. And that is that you're going to be fulfilling your obligation of Simcha. So v'enu yotze b'mishum Chagiga. But you're not going to be fulfilling your obligation of Chagiga. Pshita. The Gemara starts off the discussion with, I think that's obvious, davar shebechovahu. Your carbon Chagiga is an obligation. V'chol davar shebechovah. Enu b'al elam enechulim. And it's a standard rule that we learn throughout Kachim. And that is that once I'm obligated to bring a carbon, I cannot double dip. I can't take a carbon which I already dedicated and already set aside and now use it for a carbon that I'm obligated to do. You cannot do that. An obligatory carbon must be coming from Chulin. Okay. And what bothers the Gemara now is that the Brisa yesterday made this really big point that I can't take a carbon toda and now double dip and also repurpose it as my carbon chagigi. You can't do that. Even though the toda is a shlamim and the chagigi is a shlamim, you cannot do that. And the Gemara's question is really simple. Didn't we know that? So lo tzricha da'afagav deparish. The Gemara says well, the chiddush would be the following. I certainly know that if I already have a carbon toda to now go ahead and reuse it and repurpose it as a carbon chagiga, that's out of the question. That I knew. How about this? How about that I take an animal which is chulin and I say, look, I just went through a life harrowing experience. I just survived a terrible illness, and on top of that, I also have to bring my carbon chagiga. I'm going to be makdish this animal as both. Okay, so it's a havamina. So I might have thought that under those circumstances, when my initial kedusha is now going to try to imbue this animal with both carbon chagiga and carbon toda, maybe it would have worked. And the Gemara says, no, by the way, that was a back and forth. This was a dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And Reish Lakish asks, Ha'omer ha're'alai todav etzeh ba'yideh chagiga. So, let's say a person says, I'm gonna offer carbon toda, and I also want it to be used as a chagiga. Or, for example, ha'reini nazir, or the person says that I'm gonna be a nazir. Now, of course, becoming a nazir, you know that it's going to conclude with karbanos, right? At the conclusion of the zeros. So you have to bring three karbanos, a shlamim, a chatas, and an ola. And so now, you say, look, I'm totally ready to be a nazir, and I'm also, by definition, it puts me on the hook to bring karbanos. And you know what? I'll bring it from Meister Sheni. The agaleach mimos Meister Sheni. We're now on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. And I'll just simply use Meister Sheni money to pay for it. So mahu. So what would be the halacha there? So again, what's the sharp question that's being asked for Reish Lakish? It's not that I already have a karban and I'm just now want to try to repurpose it and reuse it for another obligation as well. No, I'm saying from the very beginning, look, I want to bring this carbon in order to satisfy two different obligations. Can I do that? And the answer is Amalei. So Nadur Ve'inu Yotze and Nazir Ve'inu Megalech. So Rav Yochanan's answer really has two points to it. Number one, you can't double dip. In other words, a carbon cannot be used for two different purposes. You can't use your Meister Sheni for your carbon nazir. In other words, it's Meister Sheni already. It's already been dedicated as a Meister Sheni is not a carbon, but still, it has kedusha. So once it already has kedusha, so you can't go ahead and use it for your carbon nazir. And the same thing is true with a carbon toda. Carbon toda can't be brought as a carbon chagiga. And even if I try to initiate both of them at the same time, it simply doesn't work. That's point number one of Rav Yochanan. But Rav Yochanan also really makes a second point as well, all in his answer. And that is that you said you're going to be a nazir. Now you also said almanas, but I want my carbonus to come from Maaser Sheni. So here's now what's going to happen. The moment you said I'm going to become a Nazir, okay, stop right there, right? Stop the screen. And now when you pause right there, so okay, good. Now he's a Nazir. Now I know he says Almanas, but that Almanas is not going to change. It's not going to detract from the fact that he accepted upon himself to become a Nazir. Now, yes, afterwards he did say, on the condition that I'm going to be bringing my carbon from Maaser Sheni, he did say that, but in terms of Rav Yochanan's acceptance of his statement, he breaks it up into two. The first statement stands independent of the second. Since the first statement could really be a standalone sentence, we will treat it like a standalone sentence, and therefore he's going to become a Nazir. And when a person says, I'm going to bring a carbon todah, but only on the condition that the carbon todah also is going to be serving as my carbon chagiga. So again, you can't double dip. And on top of that, it's going to be a carbon todah. He said almanas. I know he said almanas, but again, the first statement is a standalone statement, and therefore he's on the hook now for a carbon todah. And on top of that, it's also not going to serve as a carbon chagiga. It's a little bit of, right. We have a general machlokus throughout Chas of whether or not Tfos, Lashon, Rishon, whether we should accept the first statement that he said, or do we have to take the entirety of his statement, machlokus Tanayim. I was expecting the Gemara to introduce that over here into this discussion. The Gemara does not. Rashi, Tosos don't comment on it. Yeah, I was curious about the same thing. So Amar Le, no, next. Hahu Gavra. Okay, we are two lines down on Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara over here now, as long as we just spoke about this idea about taking a sentence and breaking it into two parts, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you a story. So there was an actual incident, Amar Lehu, Havale Arba Me'azuzi Lepon and Valinsiv Barti. So the way Rashi describes it, he's on his deathbed, and so it's Mitzav Machmas Misa. Okay, in other words, it's what we would call Last Will and Testament, but halachically speaking, when a person is on his deathbed, so everything he says now is going to create a transfer. Normally, when it comes to kinyanim, so kinyanim are very formal. Kinyanim require acts of validation, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin, the first parak, spends a lot of time talking about the various ways to ratify a kinyan. Good. So, and if you say something, now obviously, you know, your word and a handshake, they mean things, but in terms of halacha, there is no transfer until there is a ratifying of it. How do you ratify a transaction? Okay, we all know. Yeah, right. It depends. I mean, it's meshicha, it's hagba'ah, et cetera. In other words, all the gemaras in the first parak of Kiddushin in terms of how to make a kinyan. However, when a person's dying, so given the circumstances, so what the chachamim said, enacted is that his words are going to create a kinyan. Just by him making declarations, those declarations are going to be binding. Okay? And it's totally intuitive. Given the circumstances, it makes perfect sense. Anyway, but that's the halacha. So that's the way Rashi describes it over here. Rashi says it much more succinctly than I said it. But anyway, that's what's going on over here. So there was this person, Nahu Gavra, the Amar Lehu Arba Me'ezuz Leploni, V'Linsev Barti. So he says, look, I want $400 to go to so-and-so. In other words, he's looking at a potential suitor for his daughter. I don't want to over-dramatize, but it is a dramatic moment, meaning the person's dying, he's got a daughter, he's not married, his daughter's not married, and he's identified somebody who he thinks is going to be really good for his daughter. Okay, fine, he needs a little bit of incentivizing. Okay, fine, 400 zuz for that person. And he says, and on top of that, Valinsi Barti, and he should marry my daughter. Okay, so now what's the halacha? So you would think, okay, happily ever after. Okay, good. And fairy tales, happily ever after. And halacha follows halacha. So over here, Amar Papa Arba Meo Shakel Ubarti by Nasivi by Lo Nasiv. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to take the statement and we're going to divide the statement because the first statement is a standalone statement. 400 zuz to so and so. And then on top of that, he also says, and he should marry my daughter. Well, that's optional. Meaning, as far as the money is concerned, so he says 400 zuz to so and so. But the marriage of the daughter was not tied and connected and made conditional to the transfer of money. And so therefore, so this young man now just received 400 zuz, and if he wants to marry the daughter, that's totally up to him. Okay. The Gemara now notes. So how would you make it conditional? Meaning that's what happened. But now if, let's say, you want to make it conditional, so taima, Damar havale v'linsiv. Aval iamar linsiv and v'havale. So e nasiv shakel v'ilo nasiv lo shakel. So, but let's say you put in the maisa. You put in the tanai kornel maisa. Let's say you throw in the condition first. You know, if you marry my daughter, then you will receive 400 zuz. Okay, so the Gemara says that obviously now is where you are attaching the transfer to the condition. Okay, so under those circumstances, so the only way that he's going to be receiving the money is only if he marries the daughter.
Depends on the halachas of conditions. You have to have a positive and then a negative, and the positive before the negative.
Correct. More Gemaras in Masechta Kedushin. Right, and the Gemara over here is what it's like writing it in shorthand. Right, I'm also they have another good point. I'm also not clear. Like, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say you got to follow the Tanaim of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven? And the Gemara over here is like treating this like this is a brand new idea. Okay, good. Yosef Mirema v'Amar Lai Shmaita Mishmei Denavshei Amar Lei Ravina L'Mirema Asad Hachim Masnitzalan Ana Kedabai Minei Reish Lakish Mirav Yochan Masnitzalan. Okay, this is the Gemara over here is just simply a formatting issue in terms of we just went over that this was a dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara just simply notes that Meremer, when he said this over, so he said Mishmei Denashay. He asked the question as if he was independently asking the question, answering the question, and the Gemara says, okay, that's your tradition, that's not our tradition. Our tradition is this came about through a dialogue through Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Okay, fine. Okay. We know, as we now start the next section of today's daf, so we know that there's a mitzvah smicha, meaning that the Torah says that when you offer a carbon and you do so voluntarily, a carbon olah, so there's a mitzvah to do smicha. You take your hands, you put it on the animal, you apply your weight on the head of the animal, and that's the mitzvah of smicha. Okay, now, what are you supposed to be thinking about when you do the mitzvah of smicha? So, it really, really depends on the carbon. Right, the Rambam writes this. The Rambam writes this in Maaser Karbanos. We just happened to have looked it up. Anyway, the Rambam writes in the third parak of Maaser Karbanos that if the person's offering the carbon chatos, so when he does a smicha on the carbon, so obviously the chatos is coming for an avera. Good. So yeah. So you do vidui on the avera that you did. Same thing with the carbon asham, carbon ola. So generally speaking, why do you bring a carbon ola? It's voluntary. But also there are a number of sources that would seem to indicate that. The carbon ola is brought also as a quasi kapara. What's a kapara of a carbon ola? That's for bitul asay, right? You missed out on a positive commandment, you bring a carbon ola. Or if it was a, let's say, for example, lavani takla asay, writes the Rambam, so then you're going to bring a carbon ola as well. Anyway, a carbon ola sometimes does come as a result of an avera. Okay, so you bring a carbon ola. But it's not as required, as obligated as a chatas and asham. Anyway, and what about a shlamim? We're also going to be doing smicha by shlamim as well. So what do you have in mind when you're shlamim? For sure, it's strictly voluntary. Shlamim is just simply, I want to bring a carbon, right? No, I'm not a balavera, although we all are. But shlamim just simply wants to bring a carbon. So what do you think about when you do the smicha? So the Rambam writes, it's really, really interesting Rambam. So the Rambam says that when you do smicha, so you have in mind that you're just divrei shavach. You're praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Anyway, so so we know that there's a mitzvah of smicha. Now the mitzvah of smicha is located in the beginning of Vayikra, when the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of karbanos. So the first parak of Vayikra gives us the karbanola, and so in there the pasuk says, "I'm reading the pasuk." So im ola karbano v'samach chedo rosh ola. Okay, didn't read the entire pasuk, but you get. But the point is, of course, ismicha is introduced in the Torah by the karbanola. That carbon that's discussed in the first parak of Vayikra, what kind of carbon is that talking about? That's talking about a carbon nedava. That's not a carbon chova. Okay. And by shlamim also. In other words, fast forward to the third parak of Vayikra, same thing. V'im zevach shlamim karbono, .. v'samach yadol rosh karbono. Okay. So by an ola, by shlamim, so there's a mitzvah of smicha. Okay. So far, so good. Let's now discuss, let's hit our Gemara. Okay, so the following brisa was said over in front of Rabbi Yitzchak. Brisa reads, "Vayakriv v'solav yasek mishpat." This pasuk over here now is ahead in Vayikra in the ninth parak. Now, what's going on in the ninth parak of Vayikra? The answer is the miluim. So we know that there are days of inauguration of the Mishkan. Mishkan was finally in operation on the first day of Nisan, in the second year in the Midbar. So, and the 7 days prior to that, so there was days of inauguration, culminating in the eighth day, that's Yom HaShmini, right? Parsha Shmini. So culminating in the eighth day, and on the eighth day now, you had your final day of inauguration, which also overlapped with the opening day of the Mishkan. Good. So there, the instructions of the Torah are very clear in terms of the set of karbanos that are offering on that day. So the Kohen, so Aaron would be offering on that day, karban ola, karban chatas. Anyway, vayakrif es ha'ola v'yaseha kamishpat. So the Torah there says that you're going to bring the ola, and what are you going to do? Kamishpat. Now, what does that word kamishpat mean? So the Brisa goes on to describe. Kamishpat ola sandava, limit alos chava, shetunas micha. Ah. So what the Torah is telling us over here is as follows, that we have an olas nadava that was described in the beginning of Vayikra, and there's a mitzvah smicha. So now, fast forward 9 prakim into the Torah, where we are introduced to an olas chova, and the Torah there says, you're going to do it, kamishpat. Just like by the olas nadava, you're going to be doing smicha, by the olas chova, you're also going to be doing smicha. And now this is going to teach us, it's informing us, that just like there's a mitzvah of smicha when it comes to olas nadava, in Perek Aleph, there's also going to be a mitzvah of smicha even by an olas chova as well. Okay, good. That's what the Brisa is coming to teach us. And by the way, this is not just here for this particular karban. For every olas chova, you have to do smicha. Good. Ad kan divrei Brisa. It seems like it's a pretty straightforward Brisa, and it's not going to engender any discussion. It's going to engender a lot of discussion. Because now the Gemara wants to know, who's the author of this Brisa? So Amrle, now remember, some Amora was saying this Brisa in front of Rabbi Yitzchak. So the comment over here is being made by Rabbi Yitzchak. So Amrle, so Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dam lecha mani beishamehi, delo gam beishamechava mishamei nedava. Ah, I know who the author of that Brisa is. It's Beit Shammai. Why? Because I'm telling you that Beit Shammai does not learn out shamechava from shamei nedava. The Beis Hillel, because look, if that Brisa belonged to Beis Hillel, so Kim de Gam Shamechova Mishamei Nedava, because I know that according to Beis Hillel, so Shamechova is learned from Shamei Nedava. Now, remember, for Beis Hillel, what do I know? I know that for the Shlamim of Nedava, you have to do Smicha. I know that because of Perek Gimel. Now, I also know that according to Beis Hillel, Shamechova requires Smicha as well. How do I know that? Because of the Chagiga that we learned about in yesterday's Daf. In yesterday's Daf on your test, so we learned that according to Beis Hillel, Shamei Chagiga, which is a Shlamei Chova, it's an obligatory Shlamim, and we also learned that according to Beis Hillel, you must be doing Smicha. Now, how did he know that? In other words, so it must be, the Gemara is assuming right now, we'll call it a Binyanav, right? It's a precedent. If I require Smicha by Shamei Nedava, I also require Smicha by Shamei Chova, meaning Shlamim. Whatever the rules are by one Shlamim is true by another Shlamim as well. So that's true. So olos chova nami lo tibai krad de gamrim olos nedava. Ah, so if I'm Beis Hillel, so here's the thinking, the logic ladder of the Gemara. If we're able to transfer the requirement of smicha from shamei nedava to shamei chova, just simply by binyanav, just simply because they're both shlamim, so the same thing would be true for Beis Hillel when it comes to ola. If I require smicha by olas nedava, which the Torah established in the first parak. So therefore, I don't need a limud to tell me that I also require smicha by olas chova. In other words, just simply stam. That's the halacha. In other words, binyanav. Okay. So if I have a brisa, which we do, we just went over it. If I have a brisa that tells me that we're learning out through a limud, so the Gemara says, ah, you know what? That brisa must be authored by Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. So the Gemara now is just going to go back and forth in terms of, are we right? Meaning that author, that Brisa, is that Brisa really going like Beis Shammai to the exclusion of Beis Hillel? And so the Gemara discusses. Oh, me my de Beis Hillel Shammai Chova Mishammai Nedava Gamrei. Tell me Olas Chova. Olas Chova. I'm sorry, Dilma me Olas Chova Gamrei. So the Gemara says, I don't know if you're right. Meaning, you're right that according to Beis Hillel, Smicha is required by Shammai Chova. But who knows? Maybe Hillel's position that smicha is required by Shamei Chova is actually learned from Olas Chova, meaning the jump is not from Shamei Nedava, but the jump rather is from Olas Chova. So Olas Chova Gufa Baikra. So and as far as Olas Chova is concerned, it requires a pasuk. Okay, so maybe that's how it works. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, for Beis Hillel, it's got to come via a jump. What difference does it make? Where does it jump from? it jumps either from Shamei Nedava or it jumps from Olas Chova. Maishna Mishamei Nedava de Logarme, Shekei Mitsuyin. And the Gemara says, and look, you know why you weren't happy with the jump from Shamei Nedava? Shamei Nedava, the Gemara describes as Mitsuyin, it happens all the time. People offer Shamei Nedava all the time. Shamei Chova is not that common an event. So the Gemara says, and that's why you're not ready to make the jump from Shamei Nedava to Shamei Chova. So the Gemara says, Olas Chova Nami, Lo Gami Shekein Kalil. So the Gemara says, you know, when it comes to Olas Chova as well, so the truth of the matter is, Olas Chova, so what happens to a carbonola? It gets burnt entirely. What happens to a Shamei Chova? Some of it gets burnt, but most of it is eaten by the owners and the Kohanim. So the Gemara wonders now, if anyway it's going to come via some sort of binyan av jump, what difference does it make whether it's coming from either Shamei Nedava or whether it's coming from Olas Chova? So the Gemara says, Asya mi benayu. So the Gemara says, look, not necessarily. Here's what could happen. What can happen is that Beis Hillel has a limud as far as, Beis Hillel first has a pasuk when it as relates to Olas Nedava. Beis Hillel also has a pasuk when it comes to Shamei Nedava. And now what we want to do is we want to get to Shamei Chova. Maybe the requirement of smicha by Shamei Chova comes from both sources. Meaning maybe it comes from Shamei Nedava and it comes from Olas Chova. Meaning maybe it's a combination of the two. Meaning each one of themselves it presents a weakness in terms of why the limud wouldn't work. And the Gemara went through the weaknesses of both. Shamei Nedava happens all the time. Shamei Chova happens less frequently. Olas Chova is totally burnt. Shamei Chova is not totally burnt. So they each have weaknesses. And Rashi goes through the standard lo rizek rizev lo rizek rizat tzadat shavah shabahen. Look, take the common denominator between the two, which is that a Shamei Nedava has smicha, Olas Chova has smicha. So now, if Shamei Nedava has smicha and Olas Chova has smicha, so now I take it and what are we going to yield? Shamei Chova also is going to have smicha as well. That's the tzadat shavah shabahen. Good. So when all said and done, the Gemara basically saying, look, the Braisa is not necessarily just going like Beis Shammai. The Braisa could be going like Beis Hillel as well. Now, Visavri Beis Shammai, Shammai Chova Lo Bais Smicha. So the Gemara says, now that's interesting. Our entire discussion was all predicated on the fact that according to Beis Shammai, when I have Shammai Chova, it doesn't require Smicha. The Gemara says, but I have a Braisa. I'm Rav Yossi Lo Nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Smicha Atzma. Shitzarich. When it comes to smicha by the shlamim of yantiv, otherwise known as the chagiga, so it requires smicha. I'll take the smicha shchita. Beis Shammai armim meinu tzarich, Beis Hillel armim tzarich. And the only debate, the only dispute between them is when to do the smicha. According to Beis Hillel, you're going to be doing it punkt on yantiv. According to Beis Shammai, you'll be doing it before yantiv. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me we just had an entire discussion that according to Beis Shammai, Shammai chagiga does not require smicha, and meanwhile, I'm telling, we just learned the Braisa together, it does require smicha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba was having his entire discussion, he was operating with the assumption that according to Beis Hillel, Shamei Chagiga do not require smicha. The Braisa we just learned, the Gemara says, let me introduce you to another Braisa. Here's another Braisa. Hu damar ki aitana, the Tanya will enter the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechluka Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, I'll take of the smicha shchita, tzarech, ama nechluka, smicha atzma, Beis Shammai, armim minat tzarech, Beis Hillel, armim tzarech. Okay, so welcome to another Braisa. In this Braisa, so according to Beit Shammai, the Shammai Chagiga simply does not require smicha. You can't do smicha. You can't do it on Yantiv because it's a violation of Yantiv. And once you're not doing it on Yantiv, you're not doing it before Yantiv as well. In other words, there's no smicha requirement when it comes to Shammai Chagiga. Okay, Adkan. Okay. All right. That almost concludes our first half of today's daf. And just as a quick point of summary. So aside from the fact that we talked a little bit about double dipping when it comes to obligations and not having one carbon service two different purposes, I can't have one carbon serve as a carbon todah and as Shamei Chagiga. In other words, when I have an obligation, it has to come from chulin, and I cannot use already pre-assigned, pre-designated carbonos to satisfy another obligation. Good, that was the first part of today's daf. But then from that point going forward, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of the source of smicha as it relates to a Shamei Chova. Shamei Chova regarding Olas Chova, does Olas Chova require smicha? The Psukim say that Olas Nedava requires smicha. The Psukim also say The shaman edavah requires smicha. All your voluntary karbanos require smicha. That's a given. That's there are psukim in the Torah in Perek Aleph and Gimel of Vayikra. What about olas chova? So the Gemara says that we have a limud. What about shami chova? Okay, so that was the first half of today's daf. The first half of today's daf, shami chova requiring smicha. So it is, here's the part that's clear. For Beis Hillel, it does require smicha. And you'll do it on Yontif, right? For your carbon chagiga. For Beis Shammai, does a shami chova require smicha? That's left unclear, and not just unclear, but subject to a machlokus between the Tanaim. Okay. We're going to go back to a point that we made yesterday, and it's really going to be the second half of today's daf. Comes Yontif, there are two karbanos that one is required to bring. The Olas Riya, Shamei Chagiga. Good, we talked about at the beginning of Shir today. And according to Beis Shammai, something amazing happens, which is you don't offer the Olas Riya on Yontif. Even though it's a chova for Yontif to bring it, you don't bring it on Yontif. Why? Because, again, there's no hetter to do so. Meaning it's Yontif, and on Yontif there simply is no hetter to bring it. There's no Ochel Nefesh. As opposed to a Shlamim, where there is Ochel Nefesh. Good. So, I know I made this point earlier today. I'm just kind of amazed by the point. So according to Beis Shammai, so you have an obligation to bring an Olas Riya, but you can't bring it on Yontif. So what do you do? So the answer is that you bring it during the days of Tashlumim, your makeup days. Okay, good. Fine. So now we're going to be treated for the second half of today's daf, for the most part, more discussion, deliberation on this issue, and just some great historical accounting regarding Hillel, Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai on this particular issue. Tanu Rabbanan. We are towards the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, about eight, nine lines from the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara presents a brisa. Ma'isa b'Hillel Azakin Shehevi Olaso, Al Azara Lismach Al Abi Yamtov. So Hillel, in other words, it sounds like we're talking about Hillel himself, not Beis Hillel, but the original. So the original. So Hillel Azakin, so he brings his carbon Ola to the Azara on Yamtov, In order to fulfill his mitzvah of Olas Riya, and he's ready to do smichan as well, and Chavru Alav Tamida Shammai Azakin. So Shammai himself so has respect and deference over to Hillel. The students of Shammai, on the other hand, less so. And obviously we all have to be unbelievably careful in terms of critiquing and commenting, but. It's certainly, just got to be careful, but certainly over here, it does not seem like the students had the proper respect and reverence towards Hillel. And Hillel's doing what he feels is the right thing. Anyway, so the students of Shammai come along, and the students of Shammai now start gathering around. Amrlo Mativa Shobehimazu. And again, I really mean me. I don't understand the dynamics well enough to really appreciate and understand. Like, why all of a sudden Hillel is going to be backed into a corner, literally and figuratively, and, as we're going to see in just a moment, to the point where he's even going to lie. Okay. There obviously has to be a lot of play over here, and most of it, the vast majority of it, goes well above my pay grade. I don't understand what the dynamics were at the time, but the event, the Gemara is super clear about. So, Amar lo mativa shel behemazu. So they now they literally start asking him, Nu, what's this animal? Oh, male animal, huh? Oh, you're going to be bringing it as a carbonola. Oh, and you're doing smicha on the animal as well, right? And obviously for the students of Shammai, like wrong, like everything about it is wrong. So Amar Lam, so what he says is nekeva. He says, oh, what are you talking about, male animal? It's a female animal, and ulaziv cheshlamim eviyasa, and I'm bringing it for my carbon chagiga. So v'kishkesh lahem biznava, and he shakes the tail. Now, I understand there's anatomy over here. There's basic anatomy over here. Not fully following what exactly he's doing, but I am fully following, and that is that he's lying to them. In other words, what he's trying to do is pass this animal off as a female animal, and he's arguing that he's bringing it as a carbon chagiga, not as an olas riya, and halchu lahem, and now they went away satisfied. With his response. And the Gemara now has commentary on this. And on that day, so there was a victory. There was a small victory for Beis Shammai over that of Beis Hillel. So now there's an opening. So that, look, with that small victory, so now let's win the war. Okay, the war in halacha, obviously. So Vahayasham Zakanacham Tami Shamay Baba Ben Buta Shmo Shaya Yodea Shalach Kabay Shamay. Now Baba Ben Buta, who knew full well that the halacha was like Beis Hillel, Vishalach, and as now we turn we turn to the Amud Beis. Vishalach Vahavi Kolsen Yotzon Kedar Shibu Yerushalayim, and he brought a whole bunch of sheep. Rashi says Olas, that is. Vahamida Bazar, and he brought them into the Azara. Okay, Tosfos over here is a discussion, not the Azara itself, because that's Chulin Bazara, but rather in the Har Habayis. Regardless, bringing a whole bunch of Olas over there. V'amar Kol Misha Rotsa Lismoch Yavo V'Yismoch, and now, right, you do smicha. In other words, a public demonstration of the fact that the halacha does not in fact go like Beis Shammai, but rather the halacha goes like Beis Hillel. So Yavo V'Yismoch Oso Ayam Gavri Yadam Shal Beis Hillel V'Kavar Halacha Gmosam. And now there's halacha being established, ratified like Beis Hillel, and nobody protested, and that, in fact, is the halacha. The halacha goes like Beis Hillel, not like Beit Shammai. Okay, obviously, a lot over here at play, and the dance that takes place over here, so I'm just fully admitting, I don't understand the dance. Meaning, there was clearly some sort of, I'm using the wrong words, but I'm hopefully communicating this well. There was a lot of political maneuvering. It's obviously not politics; it's halacha. But there was a lot of maneuvering over here, and just it went over my head. Like lahavdil, like if I went to Congress, like there would be so many things that just would go well above my head. I don't understand the way it works. I mean, in general, I would say that's true. I don't understand how it works, but. Like, in other words, there's procedures that just obviously go above me. So over here, I'd say the same thing. In other words, what happened over here, you bring the animals into the Har Habayis, and now it's a public demonstration. Okay, it just goes above me, but I do understand, however, the contention that existed at that time in terms of who the halacha is going to follow. And look, and it was obviously a pivotal moment, and in that pivotal moment, with maneuvering that I don't understand, so eventually the scales tipped in the direction of Beis Hillel. Gemara tells another story, a student of Beis Hillel bringing a carbon to do smicha, carbon ola to do smicha. And now Beis Shammai, a student comes over from Beis Shammai and says, no, what are you doing? So amar lo mazu shtika. So, and so the response of the student was mazu shtika. And shatku benizifa v'halachla. And the mazu shtika meaning basically says like, it'd be good if you're quiet. And so obviously now we're at this pivotal moment or immediately post this pivotal moment where the halacha now started with Beis Hillel. And even though now a student of Beis Shammai comes along and says, what are you doing? And the response was simply, well, what are you saying? Meaning the halacha does in fact fall like Beis Hillel. Amar Abayi Hoka Chaitzubra Mirabanan Da'amar Le'chavre Milsa. So lo lo hadde le milsa tfe mi mai da'amar le'chavre. So the iu amarle mazusmicha vekama hadale mazustika, and Abaye says, "I know." By the way, in terms of debating and deliberating, so Abaye says we have a lot to learn from this one little episode, which is that if somebody goes ahead and challenges you, so you protest too much. Don't protest too much. Meaning, your response should be measured, right? And the number of words. I mean this literally and figuratively. The number of words that he's using now. To challenge you, so you should match it with the same number of words. There's no need to go ahead. You're a Talmid Chacham. You're a refined. You're a measured individual. There's no need to go ahead and to stand over there and no, you're wrong and go on and on. Your response could be as measured, should be as measured as the challenge was.
Going back to Hillel's declaration when he was trying to appease the guy, didn't his declaration make the Quran the lulishma? He was like basically saying
You're bothered by what was the effect of his statement,
right?
You're with me. Why he did it, I don't know. But in terms of the effect, he was just doing it just basically to push off the challenge.
I know. I understand why he did it, but I'm saying
does it create an effect? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know. It's such an interesting story. Okay. Tanya Amalan Beisola Labeisham and Mamba Makam Shaaser. And so now, what's it called? Well, I'm sorry, just before I start reading. What we're going to be privy to now in the Gemara over here is just more heated exchange between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In other words, look, I totally get it. I mean, it's such a basic issue. It's so rudimentary. In other words, on Yontav, do I bring my Olas Re'iyah, yes or no? It's so simple a question, and it's just amazing that this turned into such a point of contention between the Gedolei Yisrael. Anyway, so Amalem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So here's the argument of Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. Mamba Makom Sha'aser Lehejo, meaning let's compare Shabbos and Yontav. On Shabbos, so there's no heter for hejo, meaning you and I can't cook on Shabbos. And Mutter Legavoa, and meanwhile we offer Karbanos on Shabbos, meaning Tamid Musafim. Makom Shemutter Lehejo. Now Yontav, where we're allowed to cook, Eino Din Shemutter Legavoa. So now it's gonna shock you that we're gonna be offering Karbanos on Yontav. Okay, all right. Maybe follow it under Kav Chomer. But in other words, what Beis Hillel is saying to Beis Shammai is, if on Shabbos I'm offering Karbanos, then you and I can't cook. So on Yontif, it shocks you that we're bringing Karbanos that they're obligated today. So Amalem Beis Shammai. So the response over here is Nadav Nadavas Yochichu, Shemoter Lehejot, and Asla Gavoa. So Beis Shammai just simply says, okay, Nadav Nadavas, right? Voluntary offerings that are not time-based, so... And are not calendaric, so you agree with me that you can't offer them on Yontif. So if your argument is true, so you should be offering a Nadav and Nadavas on Yontif as well. So Amalem Beis Hillel, Mal Nadav and Nadavas she'in kavulam zman. So Tamar Baalos Riya she'kavulam zman. The obvious counterpoint is Nadav and Nadavas are not calendaric. I'm talking about the Olus Ri'i. I'm talking about the Shalmei Chagiga. I'm talking about things that are obligated to be brought today. So Amrlem Beis Shammai Avzu ain't kavul azman did none, and so Beis Shammai says, really, you think the Olas Ri'iyah is so calendaric? Now, between you and I, it is. But what Shammai is ready to argue, and in fact he does, Beis Shammai is the dam ishlo chag biyam tovishon shochag chol geva holek chol arego kulo the yam tovachron shochag. And now as far as when do you offer the carbon chagiga? Look, you offer it on the first day, and if you don't offer it on the first day, you'll say day two, day three. In other words, you have makeup days. Again, 6 days after Pesach, 6 days after Shavuos, 7 days after Sukkot to make up, because Shmini Atzeres is still part of Sukkot, right? And if you're confused, by the way, whether or not Shmini Atzeres is part of Sukkot or not part of Sukkot, okay, join the club. Okay, right? Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day, and meanwhile, it's a regal bifnei atzmo. So, you know, very comfortably, we look at Shmini Atzeres as both, as both an attachment to Sukkot and at the same time, not Sukkot. Okay, yes. Amalem Beis Hillel. So Avzu Kavula is Mandid Nan. So Beis Hillel says, well, what do you mean? You're telling me that the Chagiga and the Olas Ri'iyah are not Kavu Azman? Of course it's Kavu Azman. So this is also a Mishnah in Chagiga. Avar Regev Lo Chag. So let's say Yontav has come and gone, and you weren't Chogeg, you didn't bring your carbon to Chagiga, so Eina Chai Bach Riyuso. Meaning, Avar Zman Abato Karbano. That's it. The time has passed and you missed it. You're telling me it's not calendaric? What could be more calendaric about something where once the calendar has passed, that's it. You are done. So Amalem Beis Shammai V'lo Kvar Ne'amar Lachem V'lo L'Gavoa. And again now, more back and forth between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai says, the Torah says Lachem. Lachem means Lachem V'lo L'Gavoa. Meaning, what are the heterim that are allowed in Yontav? You can cook for you, but you can't offer a carbon where the only consumership of the carbon is going to be the Mizbeach. There's no heter to do so. So Amalem Beis Hillel V'lok V'ar Ne'amar L'Hashem. So call the Hashem. And we already saw this in yesterday's daf. The Gemara here reviews the drasha for Beis Hillel. The pasuk says L'Hashem, meaning that for Beis Hillel, he has a drasha gemur that tells me that the Olas Ri'iyah can, in fact, be offered on Yontav. So Im Kein, so Matam Olam Lachem. So now, the question, when the Torah gives the allowance of Ochel Nefesh on Yontav, and the Torah says the word Lachem, so what's it coming to tell me? So the Gemara says Lachem V'lo L'Kusim, Lachem V'lo L'Klavim. No, the Lachem over there is telling me that you can cook for you, but not for non-Jews. You can cook for you, but not for dogs. Meaning the heter of Ochel Nefesh on Yontav is only to cook for Jewish people, not for non-Jewish people, and not for animals as well. Okay. Abba Shol Omra, B'loshen Acheres. Now, Abba Shol is basically gonna say it a little bit differently, but it's gonna basically come out to the same point. Although the Gemara will open the door just a little bit in terms of the difference between the way Abishal saying it and the way we just said it. So Abishal says it's slightly different format. Ma b'makom shekirascha sesuma kiras rabba pesucha b'makom shekirascha pesucha eino din shekiras rabcha pesucha. So first of all, just to understand the Abishal, so you know we all know what the kira is. So it's a twin oven. Okay, with basically side by side ovens, right? Two stovetops side by side, with an option of dropping it into the stove. In other words, it's like a stove oven. Anyway, they're side by side. The Gemara in the third parak of Shabbos, we discuss this at length in terms of what is a kira, what is a kupach, what's a tanur. Anyway, for our purposes right now, just look at two stoves side by side, and on on Shabbos, so the so our kira is shut down, meaning we can't cook on Shabbos, and kiras rabcha psucha, it's open, meaning we offer we feed a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning we offer karbanos and we put them on the mizbeach, right? Obviously, when I say feed a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyacho. Okay, good. So if that's true now on Shabbos, so on Yontif, where our kira is open, meaning we're cooking for us, so kira's rabcha should for sure be open, and we should be offering anything and everything to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's the same basic argument, just formatted, said a little bit differently. Now the Gemara says, okay, now I understand it's basically the same argument. Is there a subtle difference between the way Abishal said it and the way that the first Tana said it? So the Gemara says, yeah, subtle difference. But Micah Miflegi, so Mar Savra Nadarvan Adavas Kraven B'Yamtav, and Mar Savra Ain Kraven B'Yamtav. So the Gemara says, yes, a subtle difference between the two. And that is that the way Abishal says it, if your Kira is open on Yantiv, so the Kira of Rabcha should for sure be open on Yantiv, meaning all Karbanos can be offered on Yantiv, including Nadarvan Adavas. Meanwhile, according to the first way to say it, Nedarim and Davis are not offered on Yontif. And again, by the way, that's a full, that fully takes us back to yesterday's daf in terms of whether or not Nedarim and Davis are offered on Yontif. Again, it's machlokus. We concluded that way yesterday, and today's daf, we're concluding the same thing as well. Okay, Amrle Ravuna. Okay, let's pause over here. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with Amr Ravuna. And good. It's more on the topic of Nedarim and Davis, fine. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Opened up our daf today with the prohibition of double dipping. You have a carbon already designated, assigned for one purpose, and it's satisfying one obligation, so you cannot repurpose it and use it for a secondary obligation. So ein chulin, ein chova ba elam in a chulin. That's the basic idea. We spoke a little bit about Tanai this morning. The idea that if I first make a statement and then only put the Tanai afterwards. So the condition is not attached to the statement, and therefore the statement exists independent of the condition. And the Gemara says, but if I take the condition and put it forward and put it first, so then the condition is in fact attached. Good. And like David said earlier, that it sounds basically like Tanai Kafel and the Gemara over here. Okay, they're just not making reference to it, but anyway, that's the basic idea. All right, and then. Two big discussions that we had, one on the Amud Aleph and the other on the Amud Beis. Smicha by Olas Chova. So the idea of Smicha by Olas Chova. So according to Beis Shammai, so we learn it out through a drasha. According to Beis Hillel, are we also learning it out from a drasha? So a big back and forth in the Gemara in the first half of today's daf. Maybe not. Maybe according to Beis Hillel, we're not learning it via drasha. We're learning it simply through a binyan av, meaning a mematzinu. We find Smicha by Olas Nedava, we find Smicha by Shalmei Nedava, that's in the first and third Prakim of Vayikra respectively. So then, okay, so then it's going to be true by Chova as well. That's one possibility. The Gemara said maybe not. Maybe Hillel also learns it out based on Drashas and Pesukim and not just a Mematzino. Okay, good. That was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, more the back and forth, and as we saw, really heated. Like contentious back and forth between Hillel, Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, in terms of whether or not the Olas Re'ia is in fact going to be offered on Yontif. According to Hillel, it is offered on Yontif. According to Shammai, it's not offered on Yontif. A major machlokus between the principles of Hillel and Shammai, turning into also a major machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we saw really powerful, strong detail regarding some of that contentious debate between the two of them. The we saw in terms of the debate taking place in action, forcing Hillel even to the point where he even lied, which is a shock. It's a shocking moment. But we saw in today's daf and the arguments back and forth between Hillel and Shammai in terms of whether or not the Olas Riyah should in fact be brought on Yantif.